proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
For tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio today, I'm Pastor Chris Gordon. If you're tuning in throughout the continent of Africa, U.S., Canada, worldwide online, we thank you today for tuning into the program. We hope the program is a great blessing to you. You can visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Our number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook. Find us at Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio 1 on Twitter and Instagram. So many ways to connect with us. And on that website, articles and resources for you to grow in your faith at agradio.org and to support us if you wish. There's a link to do that there right at agradio.org. We're jumping right into the program today, continuing our discussion in Romans chapter 6. Dr. R. Scott Clark and I are working through this book, and we hope it's a great blessing to you today. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Jesus has come to crush the head of the serpent for you.
That's right. And he did that on the cross.
On the cross, on Golgotha. Golgotha means, right?
Place of the skull.
Place of the skull. So
which
put it together.
Irony, right? There's some irony there because there was some skull crushing going on there. And so Jesus has, the serpent struck his heel and Jesus crushed his head. And because that's true, and because that's true for you, you can present your members to God for righteousness rather than to, rather than presenting your members to the devil.
You know, you just said something that made me think about members when 1 John picks up and actually I think is interacting with Genesis, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are three sort of active engagements and uses of our members to give ourselves to the devil's will, as you're saying. And here he says, you're free from that.
And we have the power, we have the authority, and I don't mean to sound like a Pentecostal, but this is true. We can say to the evil one, hey, take a hike, right? Get behind me. And Jesus said that to Peter when Peter tried to keep him from going to the cross. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. And I think that's a good thing to say. You know when you're being tempted, and you need to be conscious of when you're being tempted. You need to be honest about when you're being tempted. Pick up the phone, call somebody, walk away, you know, make a change. Don't present your members to unrighteousness. And this is hard because we're still fallen and we like to sin. And that's the sad thing. That's the tragic thing about sin. And then as Christians, we feel guilty and we should, by the way, those guilt feelings are good in a sense. The law of God. That's the Spirit of God forming our conscience. All right, so that we know, hey, that's wrong. That's contrary to the law of God. That offends, that not only transgresses his law in a legal way, that offends God personally.
Yeah.
And I'm going to present myself then and my members, all that I am, I'm going to present to God, right, to live in righteousness. And we can do it, as you were saying, verse 14, and as you were saying, this is a marvelous promise, for sin will have no dominion over you. That's not a promise that you'll never sin, right? But it's a promise that you're not going to be controlled by it. For sin will no longer rule or have, we could translate this, have lordship over you. Because if you're under the law, then sin has lordship over you. If you're under grace, then the lordship of sin has been broken.
And the marvel of this is still, he's speaking very objectively about how you are in union with Christ and how you are viewed by God. And that should have the greatest motivation. And I think that's the right word. We're properly motivating the life now. We're properly motivating Christians to live and be who they are, not saying, listen, if you keep the law, if you live this way, then you will be a Christian. We're saying, because of what Jesus has done, because of what he's accomplished, because you are in him, now, therefore, go live out and be who you are. That's a whole different way to look at the Christian life.
Jesus doesn't love you more because you resisted. He loves you whether you resist or don't resist. He accepts you graciously when you fall, when you sin. He accepts you for the sake of his righteousness imputed. God accepts you for the sake of Christ's righteousness imputed. And so, again, we want to be clear about that because, and it's essential to be clear about that, otherwise you won't understand verse 15.
Right. Right, which he's transitioning now, right?
The whole point of verse 15 is to say this is all so free that you could come away with the impression that, well, you know, go ahead and sin because God freely accepts you and it doesn't really change your status.
You wonder why he keeps saying this. You really get the sense that he has been seriously charged with running around teaching this.
I mean, if honestly, I know that there are probably people listening to this broadcast right now or listening to this podcast right now who are saying to themselves, well, you know, these people have set it up, so it doesn't matter, you know, what you do.
And yet our whole program has been, don't do it.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't make any sense.
It's not the case that the only way to talk about sanctification in the Christian life is to turn them into a covenant of works. This is the mystery. The mystery of sanctification is that it only really works. And by that, I mean dying to sin, living to Christ, being conformed more and more to the image of Christ. The only way it works is by grace alone, through faith alone, in union with Christ. That's how it works. People always want to put you on a works footing in order to get you to be sanctified. And that never works.
Right. Now, in light of this now, he's going to move. He's answering the same question. He's back to the basic thought there. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? Again, here's the great expression, by no means, right? This is not what we're teaching. This is not what we believe. There's no place for that. They even said in Romans chapter 2, anyone running around saying that, their condemnation's just. But
meganoito,
right?
Meganoito, right. Let it never be.
But listen to what he does now. This is interesting. Do not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are the slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness. Now, I love this because he's essentially, again, given us two categories here that people are in. Now, this is where I've always explained to whenever I'm teaching my students at the church, and I say, you know, here's how we think with regard to the Christian life. We'd say there's three categories on the board. We'd say you're either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness, and here is me in the middle as the autonomous one choosing which path I'm going to go toward. Yeah. That's not how he's presenting it categorically. What he's saying here is, you're either one or the other. You're either in one camp or the other. Now, when you're dead and disobedient, dead in trespasses and sins, you're not going to ever want to choose what is righteous because there's no attraction in the human nature, the sinful human nature, to whatever is good and right. It's whatever belongs to the category of darkness that you're in. That's what is attractive to you, right? When you're brought into the category of a slave of righteousness, a child of God, saved by Jesus, now your desires are bent, your will is bent to want to live this way. So it's not that you're sort of neutral in this. What he's saying is you're in one camp or the other, dead or alive. That's really important to understand, especially for even sort of free will ideas. You're either dead, and in that dead trespasses and sin state, you have a will to pursue that, or you're made alive in Christ, and in that made alive, now new life, you have the ability, by God's grace, to choose righteousness.
Yeah. Don't you understand? Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey?
One category or the other.
You either belong to one or the other. And so when you're a Christian, you don't present yourself to sin willingly, obediently. There's always a struggle. because your relationship to the whole thing has been changed. You've been put in a different category. And so either you are a slave to death or a slave to life.
Right. And he breaks into praise on this point, doesn't he, in verse 17? Thanks be to God. Why? You were once slaves of sin, and now you've become obedient from the heart. You just explained that. So helpful. You've become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. This is what's true of you again. This is what's happened to you. This is not in question, he's saying, as a believer justified by grace alone through faith alone. You now have become obedient. I love the emphasis from the heart. The heart has been changed. You've been born again. You've been given life, regenerated by the Spirit. And now having been set free, you want to choose and do what's right before the Lord.
And he's not talking about perfectionism. He's not saying, well, you have now reached entire perfection in this life. And we know that because he says in verse 19, I am speaking literally humanly, he says. The ESV says in human terms, because of your natural limitations. We could simply translate this on account of your, he says, that on account of the weakness of your flesh is what he says, literally. So Paul understands that we continue to struggle with sin, but he's saying you have to understand who and what you are in Christ. You can only struggle against sin because your relationship to sin has been fundamentally changed.
Amen. Amen. It's that relationship's been fundamentally changed. I don't think you can say that too much.
Right? Just you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So now he says, now that you're in Christ, present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to, and this is so important, look at the last word here, leading to sanctification, leading to godliness. Okay, so he's not saying that you're saved by obedience, or if you're sufficiently sanctified or cooperate sufficiently with grace, you'll be eventually saved. He's saying, since you have been saved, since you have been taken by God's sovereign power through the Red Sea on dry ground, and you've been placed on the other side, you ought to live as those for whom this is the reality. And you present yourselves, your members, to God, leading to this gradual, progressive conformity to Christ.
Right. And Paul says this under inspiration, by the inspiration of the Spirit, everywhere. I'm thinking, if I can get there in time here, I'm thinking of something he says in 1 Thessalonians, where he makes this very point, where he says, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. This is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. And what does that look like? I mean, give some concretes here. He does. That you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God.
That means pagans, right?
Right. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. And we've told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but for holiness.
Yeah.
So notice that emphasis there. This is God's will for you. This is what, you're not saved right by your works, but there's a helpful way to say that he saves you for a purpose, right? That you would now walk in the newness of life for the praise of God's glory. But
our older writers used to say that you've been justified in order that you might be sanctified.
Sure. It's a beautiful thing to say.
And that is, so we're saved unto sanctification. We're justified unto sanctification. I mean, we might say this too, that salvation is the broader term. And that includes our justification. It includes our sanctification. And it includes our glorification. And sanctification is simply the anticipation of glorification. Because when we are glorified, we're going to be conformed completely to Christ. And that process begins now in this life.
I think it's important to emphasize process. A lot of people don't.
We're talking about practice, not a game, not a game, not a game.
He just brought in Allen Iverson. We're talking into our about discussion. Practice. We are ex basketball players. We wouldn't dare go out in the court today, but we used to be fairly good.
Speak for yourself.
But anyways, we are talking about practice.
Christian life is a practice. It's an ongoing struggle. So we don't want you to be unrealistic, like, well, right. All right, I prayed a prayer and I believed and I'm started to go to church, and so now all my troubles are gone and all my sins are gone now because I am in Christ. And it doesn't work that way.
No.
That's why Paul says, don't do this. Don't present your members to sin, and do present your members to righteousness, and struggle against sin. That's what we're talking about.
And again, when you stumble, get up. You're going to stumble. Get up and go back to the Lord. Come to him.
Be honest. Confess your sins.
Psalm 51. Read Psalm 51 as your prayer. Read Psalm 32 as your prayer. These are inspired prayers of David himself, who made some major stumblings in life. The scriptures do not present the lives of the saints cleanly. They are very, I get this all the time when I preach the Old Testament.
This is why we don't do character studies, right? You know, be like Abraham, be like David, be like Moses. No, actually,
They were messy. They were messy lives.
Don't tell people that, well, she's not my wife. Yeah, when she is your wife.
It would be awful. I mean, think about it.
Don't kill people.
God's king. Yeah, exactly. David, God's king, not only killed someone, murdered somebody, but he committed adultery. And that's put in scripture, his whole path of lust. And listen, not that anyone would run around saying, oh, great, we can just be forgiven. Let's go live any way we want.
Well, people do say that, but that's wrong.
Yeah, that's not right. But to say, listen, we're realistic about sin. We're realistic. Sin is a serious business, and it's powerful. It is very powerful. We're honest about that.
Even in Christ, there are consequences to sin.
Sure.
So, I mean, just because you're forgiven doesn't mean that, you know, you steal from your employer that you might not get fired. You can be forgiven for that, and if you confess your sin, you will be forgiven for that. But there still may be consequences. You kill somebody with your card, there'll be consequences for that. All right. But what we're saying is you have to believe in grace in order to be sanctified. And God wants you to be gradually, graciously conformed to the image of Christ.
Right. So in verse 21, again, notice how the beautiful thing and interesting thing about Paul is that he just continues to say the same things in different ways.
you were a slave of sin in 20, and now you're free in regard to righteousness.
Right. You're free. And now he says, what fruit, look at the motivation here. What fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you're now ashamed? I think that's a wonderful verse.
Sin is fruitlessness, right?
It is fruitlessness, but you're ashamed of it now. Anyone who would look back on their former life and think about the things that they've done, one of the things I love in the church is listening to, sometimes we glorify people's pasts and put them on pedestals, and we think that the worst we were, the terrible things that we've done is attractive to people for them to hear. That is not attractive for people to hear. What's attractive is that God pulled you out of it, not what you did.
Paul tells his story, but he doesn't tell it in gruesome detail.
Right.
And sometimes people tell their spiritual autobiography in gruesome detail, and it gets a little lurid. No. And here's the other thing in verse 21. We need to understand sin for what it is, because when the evil one comes, when sin comes, when temptation comes, it always offers you things that it cannot actually
provide.
Satan took Jesus to the high place, you know, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world as if he could give them to him. And Satan said to Eve, look, eat this fruit, make this covenant with me, and you'll know as much as God knows. You'll know things the way God knows, and God knows that. He's holding out on you. And it was all a lie.
It's promising satisfaction.
Yeah.
And I mean, I always think of the woman at the well. You know, Jesus exposes she had had 5 husbands, and the one she has now is not her husband, somebody else's.
You know, men in their 40s and 50s, right?
Right.
Let's be honest. You're not what you used to be, and some woman in the office kind of gives you a look, right? Brushes her hand across your arm, and she seems to be interested in you. And the next thing you know, right, it seems like, okay, this is going to be a great relationship. And you know, she's going to understand me in a way that my wife doesn't, she doesn't listen to me anymore. And it's all messy at the house or whatever lies you're telling to yourself. And at the end of it, what do you have? A broken marriage, hurt children.
Yeah. You've wrecked everything.
This relationship with this woman that you thought was going to be so satisfying is produced a harvest of bitterness. It's all lies.
Right. And as I was saying with the woman at the well, is that what Jesus was saying is, listen, you've jumped from man to man to man to man. And you know what you need? None of what you have done has satisfied you.
You need living water.
Yeah. And he's telling us there, only what the Lord offers and gives to us truly satisfies our lives. So that's why we're always jumping. Listen, that's why we're always jumping around to the newest and best thing. We're always trying to find satisfaction in this and that. And we listen to the lie. Think of what Hebrews says about the deceitfulness of sin. We listen to the lie and we take the fruit. It was pleasing to the eyes. She saw that it would make one wise. It was desirable. And she took of its fruit and ate, and it did nothing but bring us into the mess we're into today.
It was misery. It was death. It was sorrow. And you also need to be careful about those people who are promising you things, right? Send me money, $29.95 before midnight, slightly higher, west of the Rockies, no COD, you know, and I will give you the secret to this or that. It's all nonsense. And TV preachers offering you a lot of stuff that they can't.
Now, notice we've not done that on Abounding Grace. We've never said, listen, write in and this will solve all your problems, right?
Make a donation to Abounding Grace Radio.
What we are saying is this message, this is a really important point, right? This is how you can distinguish between what's true and false. The message that we're giving to you today is life. And you know what? We're not charging you for it.
No, it's free.
We're not charging you. We're not trying to get your money. If anything, our request for it is only so that others would know the gospel. That's our sole desire here.
But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Sin leads to misery and death, and righteousness, godly living, leads to sanctification, right? And the end of that is eternal life. Those are the two paths that are set before you. And this is right out of Proverbs 1 through 8 or Proverbs 1 through 9, right? The woman standing in the street, she looks seductive and she has a great message. And at the end of it, it's all death and misery. And the other path is abstinence. It's resistance. It's dying to sin, dying to lust, dying to theft, dying to covetousness, dying to idolatry, all of those things, dying to busyness, all the things that we think are so valuable and important, all the things that our culture tells us are so valuable and important, and living to Christ.
So before we move into chapter 7 next time, we come to a grand and beautiful summary here. I can't wait to read it to you. We're going to close on this note. Listen to this summary statement. For all that we've said today on Abounding Grace, we hope that you'll remember this. For the wages of sin is death. Listen, if you want to remain in that lifestyle and you want to refuse to come to Jesus and you want to refuse this message, which is offering you, think about this, life, eternal life, what you just said, the end of that path is death, eternal death, condemnation, judgment, hell, everything that the scriptures outline of the wise and just judgment of God. That's the end of the path you've chosen. That's where it leads. But the free gift of God, what a wonderful statement, isn't it? The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you believe the gospel, when you receive all of what is being said to you, Jesus and his righteousness by faith, God gives you something that is a free gift. You can't earn, you can't merit. Jesus has done it for you. Eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the best news that could ever be announced today to this sad, lost, and dying world.
Father, I'm a sinner, and I know I'm a sinner, and I know that you hate sin, and I know that I've broken your law, and I've broken your law willingly, intentionally. And I'm sorry for that. And I trust Jesus.
We're going to stop there. Thanks today for those insights, Scott, on Abounding Grace Radio. We are always grateful to our listeners tuning into the program. A quick reminder, please go to the website agradio.org/Rosaria and sign up for our conference on July 26, 7 p.m. We promise you this will be a great blessing to you and to your children. Sign up. We would love to see you there. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.